Hi, I'm Dr. Felicia Mevin, and this is Health Services Unplugged. For this episode, I tried something new. Live webcasting from Academy Health's 2015 annual research meeting, otherwise known as the ARM. I sat at a table on the second floor of the convention center in Minneapolis and invited attendees to sit and chat about their training, research interests, career insights, and of course, their ARM experience. Listen to these clips from that webcast and meet some of our awesome colleagues and students who are passionate about health services and policy and public health and research and helping people.
Introduce yourself first. So who are you? And
hi, my name is Paul Che. I'm a program associate at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah. And I work on the Strengthening Vulnerable Children and Families Program.
Okay, great. So what's your background in training?
So I come with a public health background. Completed my Master's of Public Health from the University of Michigan last year.
So, oh, great. So do you know Dana Lee?
I don't know.
Which department?
Health Behavior, Health Education.
Oh, okay. He's in Health Policy.
Okay.
So I have a couple of colleagues who are there in Health Policy. Okay.
All right. So just been at the foundation for just under a year now, so pretty new.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. So exactly what does that mean, but what do you do?
So,
specifically.
Yeah, so I work on a lot of different programs and grant making related to early childhood development. On our portfolio, we're kind of looking to build up the necessary building blocks for social-emotional development for young children and families. So we're looking at a number of different settings, like the education space, bridging health and healthcare systems, as well as early stages of looking at the child care setting to implement programs and practices.
Okay, so are you in charge of a grant-making program? Is that...
So for right now, I'm doing light touch on some of my own project management, but for the most part, just support across the portfolio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And where is Barbara Johnson? I know where it is, but tell folks where it's
based.
Yeah,
so we're based out of Princeton, New Jersey. Just right up Route 1 if you guys are familiar with the New Jersey.
Oh, okay. So is this your first time in Minneapolis?
It is, actually.
Yeah. Well, no, this is my second time.
Okay.
But is it beautiful? It's
great. The weather here is amazing.
It's been amazing. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think you picked the exact right time to be here.
Right.
So tell me something that you've done here at the ARM that was unexpected.
I guess just running into old colleagues and classmates, which was very unexpected.
Because Michigan is a big school, right?
Right. And we have a booth downstairs, which is great to kind of reconnect with people.
Right.
But I think one of the great things about Academy Health meeting is that you get to establish relationships, but then also rekindle old relationships, which is really great. So, and it was interesting to hear what some of my previous classmates and colleagues are up to now, and some of the connections across our work. So,
right. Cool. Yeah. What about session-wise?
Session-wise, yesterday was part of a session on adverse childhood experiences, which was led by Christina Buffel and Michelle Soloway.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually one of our current grantees within my portfolio, so it was really great to kind of hear an update about the work that they're doing, and then also connecting with Michelle for the first time in person.
Cool. It's always nice to put a name to all those people that posted the name and all that.
Right, yeah. So it was a good session.
Great. So have you been to this ARM before?
I have not, no.
Yeah, a lot of first timers. Do you have that? Okay, but you have the most important thing, which is the Michigan tag.
That's yes, they were giving everybody stickers so that we're well represented.
That's what you call branding, folks. Getting that out there.
Yeah, so it's been good.
Great. Well, thanks for stopping by. Okay. I really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, and best of luck with this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Introduce yourself again, please.
No problem. I'm Jamila Taylor from FHI 360 in Durham, North Carolina.
Oh, Durham. Awesome.
Yes.
You know, I was at Chapel Hill for a while.
Oh, great. Yeah,
so
I have my undergrad.
Me too.
Yeah.
Not at the same time, obviously. But I have undergrad and master's from UNC. I was on faculty there, and I was a dean of students there for a while.
Wow, exciting.
That's great. So we can do the who do you know
right.
a little bit later. So you work at FHI.
Yes.
What's your position there?
I'm a research assistant there with the Division for Social and Behavioral Health Sciences. under our global health and research population.
Okay, so what's your background in training?
My background is actually psychology at UNC Chapel Hill. However, I've worked in realms as far as maternal and child health and public policy, and more recently looking at FHI, working with public health.
Okay. So, that's great.
Yeah.
So is this your first time at ARM?
This is actually my second time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the, I actually was here last year presenting information from our study in San Diego.
Oh, okay. And so is this one of your key, like, conferences, or do you go to different conferences?
You know, I've not really ventured to conferences before, so the ARM was actually my first experience with conferences, which is, they're really exciting, I think, with the breadth and wealth of people here from all sorts of backgrounds and experiences and presenting information on a lot of different arenas as it relates to health. So it's been really interesting.
So tell us about one of the sessions that you went to.
So yesterday I actually went to a session on kind of patient engagement and dissemination. So it was pretty interesting looking at hearing the presenters speak about their experiences with engaging their participants and patients for their different research studies. I think it was really refreshing to hear about how, you know, some of their challenges that they've experienced with engaging patients, especially for some of these larger, these larger studies, because you imagine, well, you know, of course these patients want to be engaged, of course they want to be able to give their feedback, but, you know, kind of training them and getting them onboarding them onto the study, kind of helping them to kind of work with researchers was, you know, obviously a relatively nuanced experience. So knowing that there is more research, not only just bringing patients into that experience, but also focus specifically on patient engagement, was really interesting to facilitate research for the future. So.
I mean, to me, it's kind of fascinating to be in a time where people are rethinking the research process, because that's not the traditional model, right? It's sort of sort of top down, you know, you have all of the partners at the table from before the research questions are even formed, and then go from there. And hopefully that'll help us to have more robust research processes and evidence and data and all that. So what have you done fun in Minneapolis?
Well, I've done a lot of walking.
Like, yeah, I know, right? I got my 10,000 steps, no problem.
So I wanted to try to venture out to, you know, to see more, I guess, the St. Anthony Falls, but I didn't get a chance to get there just yet. But so far, I've just kind of done a lot of walking. I've explored a lot of the theaters that they have, kind of back off of Hennepin Avenue. So it's a large city, but it's one that you don't, it doesn't feel that large, because everything is relatively in walking distance. So Minneapolis has a lot to offer, and it's really a beautiful
city. Isn't it gorgeous?
It's very beautiful.
I mean, I look at all the snow, I'm like, what? Like, it just reminds me, but, you know. I mean, they picked the exact perfect time to be here.
Yeah, I don't know if I've been able to make it.
I know, right? Well, again, though, they have these fabulous skyways. You can get all around the city without ever having to hit the sidewalk because of the weather a lot of the times. And I'm just fascinated by that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It is a great feat of engineering. Yeah. And they're air-conditioned and carpeted, and, you know, because we were here, I came in on Friday, and we're like, where are all the people? And we're like, oh, they're up there, probably up there somewhere. Well, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Enjoy meeting you, and have a good rest of your conference.
I'm Beth Resnick. I'm with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and I actually am not a health services researcher. I do more public health systems services research.
Okay.
I also do a lot of working with students. I run a master's program where they have to find a field placement in public health. So something that I think is really cool about what you're doing is, I think students are, now my students are master's students, but I've also worked with a lot of undergrads when they're applying to the program. They really don't know what public health is.
Right.
They're really interested, like, oh, it's an in topic now, which is great.
Right.
But their vision of public health is usually, well, they know medical care.
Right.
So health services research actually is a good bridge, sort of. But what they think about public health is usually either health department, or they think international, like you're going off and you're working in America or something like that. Yeah. And they don't really know that, and a lot of them wanted to go to medical school, and maybe it wasn't the right fit for them, and they're trying to figure it all
out. That was me.
So I feel one of my missions is to explain what is public health, and that's a tough one because it's so broad. But even here, so an example of why I'm at this conference now is there's so much more opportunity to think about public health and healthcare together. We've spent so long being apart for I don't know why, but that they should be considered together.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually co-teach a public health careers course with someone who's a physician by training and mm-hmm. now doing public health work, and her point is we're all doing the same thing,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
So really trying to think about it. So health systems or health services research and public health systems research now is starting to really think about how some of these things can be connected and what measures are we using. I think a big piece and part of the reason why I'm here is that we all need to be talking in the same language, and
mm-hmm.
we're not, you know,
right.
So trying to figure out what all these different acronyms mean and all that, and especially when you're starting out, that can be really intimidating.
Right,
yes,
right,
because
right.
you're like,
sort
what
of
are they talking
to
about?
In some respects, right?
Yeah. So even just coming to meetings like this, kind of getting to know people and getting to find out what they're doing and
mm-hmm.
Googling the different terms if you don't know what they are to try
right.
to figure it out.
So it would be great then if you would share with your, you know, students something like this, and if you give them feedback or, you know, about
yeah.
the podcast.
And actually I teach public health practice course, and what we've been doing just in the last 2 years, and it was actually a student's idea, because I wouldn't have thought of it,
mm-hmm.
was we're now having our students follow different health communications and sort of talking about, is this effective or not? Who's
okay.
the intended audience?
Sure.
Is it providing information that's actually useful?
Right, right.
We've mostly been having them follow health departments, but I think now in the broader scheme and coming here and learning about all these different things, it would be great to have them following different organizations.
Right, yeah. I mean, even Academy Health has, you know, social media stuff that they could follow. Some, I think some of it's not just for members. But
oh, yeah, like Twitter and all
exactly.
that. Right,
right.
And now at this conference, how this is all such a part of it. So
right.
I think as professionals, we all need, and you as a perfect example of one of our fellows, you know, we need to move into the new modes of communication.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to reach younger audiences and
that's
figure
right.
it out.
Now, right. you know, and broader audiences too, right? I had someone before, he was talking about, there was somebody that's presenting a study here that was looking at, part of it was to look at what Twitter accounts do congressional staffers here in Minneapolis follow
mm-hmm.
as a way to see what influence what we put out there has versus other sources. And Stephen Colbert was in the top 10 in terms of health-related accounts. And so we're competing with that, right?
He was a health-related
account? Well, it's because he does make references to healthcare and healthcare policies as a part of his comedy. And if you look at media usage studies and sources of information studies, we're at the Pew Center for, you know, media research, I can't remember the full title.
Right.
Those kind of shows come up for a surprisingly large percentage of a certain demographic, as they say this is one of their primary sources of information about health policy.
Oh, that's scary.
And so, well, it's a challenge. To me, it's a challenge, but that's part of the motivation of something like this, because you want to reach both the younger people who kind of know they're interested in the topic, but they want to know more or don't understand or whatever, but you also want to reach broader audiences, too.
Right, so maybe we should run around
so.
And go like this.
Who knows? Why not? Why not? That is appropriate at times, I'm just saying.
No, I think it's
but
great
anyway.
That they're following Stephen Colbert, but it's just like they're counting it as a health policy source.
Well, because it, you know, it was a research study, so they had to do very specific
things.
Right. They used certain terms, then it popped up. That's
makes
all. Not that, not that he considers himself a policy source.
I don't know, maybe he does, but anyway. But lots of people use Comedy Central as their source of
news. And well, to be fair, it does raise, I think some people are probably, they probably know that certain debates and discussions are happening in a way that they wouldn't have because he mentions it.
Yep.
Right, so why would they pay attention to healthcare reform, but he made a joke about it, so at least they know something's happening.
It's true.
There you go. Now, what I was saying before is, what I would see love to see happen more, have your jokes, but then work with someone like me to also have a resource page or something that says, okay, now that you've heard the joke, here's where you go to get real information about, or different information, or both sides, or whatever. You know, because they raise the salience of it, then they drop up and like, you know.
Quick question about the
sure.
Students and the younger people.
Sure.
Like, you know, you think, oh, the professionals in the field, we're like the experts, but when it comes to social media and communication, you guys are the experts.
Yeah.
And we need to hear from you all. You know, I always tell my students, think about what you can bring to the table. and,
as a younger person.
You know, right, so don't try to act like a know-it-all with health policy if you're just starting out.
Right.
But when it comes to social media and what all your friends are doing and what you're connecting,
mm-hmm.
that's your expertise way more than any of us old fogies. So,
right, yeah, so bring it.
Bring it on, right. So my, so you were asking me about my training.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a master's in public health from Johns Hopkins, actually, but
okay.
I did the part-time program, and I actually am now in a currently, while working, in a part-time BRPH
oh, great.
Program.
Yeah. And those are designed for that. So that's a doctorate of public health degree. And some of them are what we call executive programs. So people who are already working in the field but would like to get a different level of analytical skills or for other reasons will be working full-time in their positions and also getting this doctorate.
Right, so mine's not an executive, it's a part-time program. It's from
okay,
university,
so.
But it's like that. It's from
right.
the University of Illinois, Chicago, and
okay.
there was 14 people in my year when
okay.
I started, and they're all connected and have different careers.
So is it online?
It is online,
okay.
But we have to go to Chicago once a year,
right.
And it's in public health practice and leadership.
Sure.
And that's what most of my career has been about. Before I came to Hopkins, I worked at the National Association of County and City Health Officials.
Yes, it's a mouthful.
We've got
no,
those acronyms.
Yes.
So I've worked with local health departments around the country, and so most of my interest area, my research, and also in my teaching is really thinking about public health systems and how health departments interact with the rest of the community to address public health issues.
Okay.
So that's been most of my research work.
Great. It was nice to meet you.
Well, thank you. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks again to all the 2015 Academy Health Annual Research Meeting webcast guests, and thanks to you for listening in. You can join in with your comments and other feedback and find links to more about these guests at healthservicesunplugged.info. Health Services Unplugged is presented by Academy Health with support from Kaiser Permanente and produced by me, Dr. Felicia Mevin, and executive producer, Dr. Imani Cheers, with music by Dr. Cheryl Mevin. You can learn more about this project and the rest of Academy Health at academyhealth.org.